Our working definition going into the meeting was straightforward. Destructive emotions are those that cause harm to ourselves or to others. But as we pursued the discussion, different views emerged on just which emotions are, in fact, harmful, and when and why. Paul Ekman, a psychologist at the University of California at San Francisco, and a world expert on the facial expression of affect, began our scientific exploration of the basic dynamics of emotions. He brought a Darwinian perspective to our conversation, one suggesting that destructive emotions remain in the repertoire of the human heart as a trade-off in the evolutionary quest for survival. For further insights from neuroscience, we turn to Richard Davidson of the University of Wisconsin, a founder of the field of affective neuroscience. He shared findings that pinpointed the brain circuitry involved in a range of destructive emotions, from the craving of an addict to the paralyzing fears of a phobic and the out-of-control viciousness of a mass murderer. But his data also pointed to another promise: the sites in the brain that inhibit destructive urges, as well as those that replace disturbing feelings with equanimity or joy. A cross-cultural view came from Jeannie Tsai, a psychologist at Stanford, whose research focuses on differences in how people experience emotions from culture to culture. Her findings reminded us of the need to recognize differences among people even as we pursued universal means to overcome the threat of destructive emotions. Along with analyzing the dynamics that underlie our destructive propensities, we hope to turn also to the search for solutions. To that end, we heard from Mark Greenberg, a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania and a pioneer in programs for social and emotional learning. He reported on school curricula for children that help them master destructive emotions rather than simply acting on those impulses. As it turned out, that report would spur us to begin to design a similar program for adults. Our last day focused on how collaborations between advanced meditation practitioners and neuroscientists might further scientific understanding of the positive potential for emotional transformation. Francisco Varela, co-founder of the Mind and Life Institute and research director of a national neuroscience laboratory in Paris, reported on experiments dissecting the neural activity underlying a moment of perception. And Richard Davidson argued for neuroplasticity, suggesting that meditation practice could produce beneficial plasticity in the brain's affective centers, inhibiting destructive emotions while fostering positive ones. We found ourselves pursuing the search for practical methods that could be borrowed from Buddhism or the West to come up with a lesson plan for living with full attention and self-awareness, with self-control and responsibility, with empathy and compassion. In other words, living with the skills that allow people to overcome their own destructive emotions. Our story starts with this intriguing collaboration between a centuries-old science of mind and cutting-edge neuroscience.